with some time, plants, turns, and throws, and he's got Mercedes. He's got a touchdown, Jacksonville.
Boy, that's a big-time catch.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach, straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We've got an hour with the head coach, and you can join us at Jags Voice via Twitter. Also, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get that one in as well with your thoughts and comments for the head coach. And by the way, once this program is over, you can join Jeff Loggeman on CBS 47 for Jaguars All Access. And tonight's special guest will be Jaguars wide receiver Justin Blackmon, coming off a 236-yard performance in Houston. Time to bring in the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Coach, how are you tonight?
Okay. Still trying to come in here with a win under our belt, but very, very proud of our players. I mean, they battled like there was no tomorrow, and I'm very proud of this team, regardless of the outcome.
You know, there just weren't many people that believed that a 1-8 ball club could go up against the Houston Texans, who are, you know, as good as you find in the National Football League, and the matchups didn't look all that good without two starting linebackers against Darian Foster, who's just been on a tear, and yet you held him to 77 yards. He didn't get into the end zone, and he had a couple of cracks at it. He made some plays, and all of a sudden, I mean, you're within 6 yards of winning the ball game in overtime.
That's what's so frustrating, is that we were that close. You know, there's a lot of should-haves. I mean, it's a should-have season so far, and we had that opportunity right there and did not take advantage of it, and very disappointed that, you know, we had a 2-touchdown lead again for the second time on the road, and, you know, have given that up and not won the game, and that's something we obviously can't have.
You know, we talked over the weeks about the Minnesota game on opening day and how gut-wrenching that is for a football team to lose opening day on the road in overtime. 3 overtime losses on the road this year. I mean, that's a challenging emotional roller coaster to get off of, isn't it?
It's very, very emotional. I mean, it's very, you know, it can wear you down mentally and physically, because there's not a lot of positive energy that comes out of a loss, especially one that's of that nature, an overtime, all the way down to the last 2 minutes. You know, we have to get over that. We have. And, you know, we got a tough game coming up here, so we have to get over it and find the energy. And our guys have done that week in. And, again, I know I've said it a number of times of our preparation, but these guys come in and go to work every day with a great mentality. Very, very strong-minded team and believe they can win on every Sunday that we step on that field.
You know, and folks who are listening who want to hear your comments on Chad Henne, who will be the starting quarterback on Sunday. We'll get to those in just a moment. I do want to touch on this, Coach. You know, in the fourth quarter and into overtime, Jeff was talking during our broadcast about how difficult it would be to lose that game for a team that had come so close on the road all year, how difficult, how gut-wrenching it would be. And after the game, I was really impressed listening to some of these guys talk about how mentally tough they were. It didn't sound like this was a group that was feeling sorry for itself, that this was a group that doubted itself. They all backed your decision to go for it on fourth down in overtime at midfield, and they all stood there like you would expect them to. It was a very different outcome than Jeff and I thought might, you know, at the start of overtime.
It's just, it's this team. It's the players on this team. That was our message going in. That was my message. We didn't even talk about the Texans last Wednesday morning, which I normally do. I go through the team, the phases, and then the players that we have to be aware of. And I decided, you know, and I'm going to talk about the Jaguar players and what they've done good and the phases of what they've done. And I just said, I was almost acting, you know, talking like I was the opposing coach, but I said, you better be very careful of this football team. Very careful. Do not let your guard down against this team, because they don't know the people in this room. They don't know the people in this locker room. They don't know the staff. They don't know what this team's made of. Regardless of this record, regardless of where we're playing, regardless of the opponents, it does not matter. This team is resilient, and you know, they come to play every week, regardless of the outcome. They're their preparation, and when they step on the field, we all believe we have a chance to win, and that has not changed, and that will not.
And the next opportunity is this coming Sunday when the Jaguars take on the Tennessee Titans here at Everbank Field. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. We'll start things here locally in Jacksonville on WOKV with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10. Jaguars pregame at noon, the halftime show presented by Aetna, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. And by the way, you can help eliminate hunger this Thanksgiving and this holiday season during the Jaguars' 18th annual food drive, which benefits the Second Harvest Food Bank. Bring just a can or a dollar to the Jags-Titans game on Sunday, and you can make a difference. We'll take a break and come back with the head coach, Mike Mularkey, here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Want to win $1 million this year? When you play the 25th anniversary millionaire raffle from the Florida Lottery, there'll be a new $1 million winner every Monday beginning November 19th. And with a $2 million grand prize drawing New Year's Eve, the millionaire raffle has the best odds to win $1 million of any game currently on sale. Play the 25th anniversary millionaire raffle from the Florida Lottery November 9th through December 30th. It's your chance to win big in the year of the Flamingo. Limited time. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
You can be rewarded just for being a Jaguars fan. Jaguars Rewards has been revamped and relaunched. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits of rewards, including Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program. But the new online rewards website is now open to all Jaguars fans. Receive discounts and earn cash back just by shopping online at the Jaguars Rewards website. You can even win Super Bowl tickets. To register, visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo and start earning your rewards for being a Jaguars fan today.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
Bud Light salutes Jaguars fans and all their superstitions. Like the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys. And the fans who sit next to the fans committed to not washing their lucky jerseys. Jaguars fans do whatever it takes. It's only weird if it doesn't work. Bud Light, for all the fans and all they do, here we go.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. You try Sonny's Chicken Ribs. They're just $10.99. You get a huge helping of their barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for $10.99. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue. Okay, Coach, the buzz in Jacksonville today is from your news conference this afternoon. You have made Chad Henne the starting quarterback on Sunday against the Titans, and the reason, because he played well and earned it, correct?
Correct.
Four touchdown passes in a game, ties a Jaguars franchise record. He came out and played well.
He did. He played very well. And, you know, I just want to say this first about Blaine. You know, he got hit, he has an injury. And you know, it was just the performance by Chad earned him the right to start this game. And, you know, I'm hoping Blaine recovers, because we need Blaine just like we've needed Chad, just like we needed Chad when he stepped in there, because, you know, you never know in this game. May need you seven plays into it. And I just felt it's not just a quarterback position. We've done this, you know, we started Jalen Parmalee at tailback. We've made a move at left guard. We've made a move with C.J. Mosley, Cecil Shorts. I mean, we're constantly trying to put people in there that we feel, see if we can get more production and help us win. I mean, it's not just that position. It's at all positions that people are getting evaluated.
The quarterback generally is treated a little bit differently, though, right? I mean, so how much did you put into this decision, or was it a very simple one for you?
Well, I mean, yesterday's performance was pretty hard to argue. It was, you know, I saw it, but I really wanted, before I made any decisions, I wanted to watch it on tape and see what took place. You know, I just think for us to have the best chance to win this week, Chad is at ease. He had a very productive game. Guys around him were productive. By no means is this to say Blaine is the reason where we're at, or where we're ranked or any of that. We all have to do better. I mean, based on where we're at. That's me. That's our coaches. That's the players around. And that's everybody. But it was not one sole person. You know, but that's the way the quarterback position has looked like.
There will be people who sit behind microphones like this at radio stations all over the Southeast here, especially in Jacksonville. And there will be people who are around the water cooler that will look big picture with this decision. Is this a big picture decision, or is this a week-to-week move for you, Coach?
This isn't a quarterback controversy. This is, every week we are looking to see who gives us our best chance. I mean, that's at every position. And, again, it's hard to not see what took place yesterday against a very good defense. And really he didn't take a lot of snaps, Chad, because of his role. But I just like the way he came in, took command after Blaine did get injured, and made some throws that our guys made plays off of, which I was very proud of him.
Blaine has been in the starting lineup since, week three of last year. Is there some value to him in all of this? To be able, he's been out there, good and bad. Is there some value to him to stand and take a breath and watch as a young quarterback?
I think there's definitely value to that. I credit Chad for Blaine's progress. I mean, Chad has been a very crucial part to Blaine improving since he's been here. And we need Blaine just to be just like we needed Chad.
Sure.
To be ready to go. I mean, you never know. If something happens early, Blaine's got to step in there, just like Chad did, and move the ball and put points on the board.
No one asked you, well, how's Rashad going to take the Jalen Parmalee starting, or how's Evan Britton going to handle the Mike Brewster? People really do look at that position so much differently, don't they?
Well, the one thing that's very clear that since we've been here, there is no gray. I mean, I'm very very honest with the players. I didn't want to become a head coach to put guys in a position that I'm telling them, hey, we're going to start somebody else. But all we're trying to do, and I think they see that, and I think the whole team sees this, is that we're trying to find a way to win games. And we're going to do whatever we can. And we're not just saying it, but we're actually backing up what we're saying. And I think players respect that. And we're very honest with players on our feelings. They know we want them to be successful. They know how important it is for the staff that they're successful. And just being up front is very important when you're talking with players.
So how much does Chad benefit, to what degree, to have the week to prepare as the starting quarterback?
That will help. Although he's, mentally prepared every week,
right,
with the film study. And, he gets some reps, but not the reps that he's will get this week. But, like that throw to Mercedes, where, the ball has to be, it's a jump ball. And we know most cases, and that's what we had this week with Blaine. So, Blaine had the play twice. Blaine knew it was a jump ball, threw the jump ball, and Chad, without throwing it, knew where that ball needed to be placed and did it without actually doing it in practice. So it'll be very beneficial. And, just to go back on the other point, Blaine to sit back and actually watch from – afar a little bit to see how things are done by a guy that's had a lot of starts and a lot of productivity in the league will be good for Blaine as well.
Well, I've got a question here on Twitter from a gentleman that he's curious because he thought the rest of the season was about evaluating whether Blaine Gabbert was going to be the long-term fixture here at quarterback. Are people reading that wrong? Is the rest of the season about that?
No, it's about finishing this season strong. We want to finish. We have 6 games left. We think we took a step forward yesterday. We would like to keep taking those steps and produce wins, right, and play a full game and come on the better half. But this is not about, like some teams do,
right,
see who's going to be here at the end of the year. This is about winning these last 6 games.
As a coach, you won't be able to avoid the question about quarterback every week. That's a hard thing to manage, isn't it?
Well, I that's one thing I wanted to make it clear, and that's why we did it today. Right. I did it this morning or this afternoon with the press conference. Just wanted to make it very, again, there's no gray. Okay, Chad's going to start this week, and again, it's all based on his performance, just like it's been for these other positions that we've made moves on.
Right.
And, and we've got to see production, and that's everywhere. And if it's not, then we'll go the next step, whatever that is, at any position.
And that sends a powerful message to the team.
Yes, and it's been the same message from the beginning. It's very clear. We try to wipe out all the gray.
Okay. All right. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, folks, and you can get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Back with more after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. Brian Sexton back with Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey. Boy, to watch Henny yesterday, you know, create down the field like he did was exciting. But maybe more exciting was to watch Justin Blackmon come alive.
It was good. It was really good for him.
You've been saying it on this show for weeks. You've been saying he's practicing well.
For 5 weeks now. I know exactly how long because it has been a process, and each week it's getting better, really, but a lot better because he's gaining experience every game, and you can just tell his confidence just by how fast he practices. You know, a lot of that is you're still, you know, reading is it this or is it that. Now he knows it's this, and you run faster when you know it's this clear cut. And the quarterbacks know he's going to be there. And I just liked what he did after the catch. You know, he was being criticized for his yards after catch, but I think, you know, he has the ability to make things happen afterwards.
Well, two things we saw in his first game in the preseason in New Orleans from him. The first was he used those great big hands and just snatched the ball. I mean, if it was anywhere close, it was his. And the other thing was the body control, where he would give you the fake leg or he could lean back in a direction that most people can't regain their balance from. Let a guy run past him and then pick up and go. And we saw both of those yesterday. The first catch from Blaine, where he reached up and pulled that ball in for a first down at about the 31 or the 32. And then, of course, the throw from Chad, where he, you know, broke through and got to the outside and made guys miss.
Right.
It's great to see that.
Really good. He has excellent ball skills. I mean, he has just great hands. And I'm a big believer that you got to see the ball with your eyes, hit your hands. He may throw that off a little bit because he's just got – a great knack for catching the football. Although we had a couple incidents yesterday that, you know, he had another chance to catch a big third down. I think the third down that basically hit him in the almost right in the face. There's a hand right up, and these guys did a great job of batting balls. Well, they had hands up, and that ball just got on top of him really quick because of that. And but if he'd have caught that on third, and I don't know how long he'd have gone there either. But he's getting better every week.
Well, and you talked about Chad pushing Blaine. What about the way that Cecil has emerged pushing Justin? Is there anything to that? Because, I mean, Blackmon yesterday had a big game, but so did Cecil. I mean, the 67-yard touchdown with the body control and just never quitting all the way down. I've got to think in that room, Jerry Sullivan's got it going, the competition.
He does. It's a really good room. It's a young room. I mean, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. 14 starts between those two guys.
Yeah, we're talking about a young group that came alive yesterday, and that's, we need more of that. We've needed that this whole year, where you catch a 6-yard hitch and you gain 67 yards. Those are things that help you win games, those explosive plays. It also puts a little bit of a fear in the secondaries that watch that film from here on out, that this guy, first of all, I better tackle him.
Right.
But I also better honor how fast he is. And so I was just, you know, there were some blocks that there was a lot of effort in that yesterday, even on the touchdowns of guys going down the field to block when, you know, where they're at with their record and where we're at. If you usually don't see things like that, but this is the kind of group we have.
10 catches, 317 yards, and 2 touchdowns, both longer than 67 yards. I mean, that is to see those two guys, and Cecil, he played in a couple games last year, but I mean, this is it for him this year. To see those two guys both, you know, have big games at the same time gives you a sense that this young receiving core has a very bright future.
I think they do. I really do. I like, you know, Jerry Sullivan is very passionate. Their coach is very passionate about this position. He's very demanding. I mean, very demanding about the little things, about route running, about how to get open, what to do after. He just won't accept anything but the best. And I think these guys have really taking it all in, and you're starting to see it on the field.
And people don't like to be told be patient, especially with young players, because you see a guy and Andrew Luck come out and, you know, be sensational early on in his career, and there's receivers who have done it as well, but patience with a young player, especially a wide receiver, seems to be a big time virtue, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's guys that can, I mean, they're instantaneously stars, threats. You know, you got to double. I mean,
Randy Moss.
Yeah, Randy. There's, but there's only a few of those. Just like there's only a few of the Andrew Lucks that come out and are ready to step right in there. And
well, the best example is what you had last year in Atlanta. I mean, Julio Jones comes out and he's a big time threat immediately, but it took Roddy White a couple of years to evolve into what he is.
It really did. That's a great example of it. But you know, and I think Justin showed why he was a leading receiver 2 years in a row in college.
Right.
Some of the things he did yesterday. Again, is he at the top of his? Absolutely not. He's just scratching the surface, I think.
All right. Joe, you've got a thought from Facebook.
Yeah, this is from JR, guys. It says, after yesterday's game, it looks like we could be developing a nice 1-2 punch with Blackman and Schwartz. My question is, who's one and who's two, or should I really care?
Well, they're both. That's interesting. I know everybody goes, even corners. He's a number one corner and two. No, they're both ones. I mean, we really have three ones when you put our third receiver in that game. But we rank them, but not on the radio.
Yeah. How does LaRon figure into this group? I mean, all of a sudden now, I mean, he's not a young player, but with these two guys and LaRon, I mean, if you could develop that guy, because he didn't have a catch yesterday, is why I asked the question.
Well, he's got a role here. It was big a week ago.
Nine catches.
Right. It just didn't play out that way. A lot of the same things he caught were not there because of different coverages. Just different. That kind of tell you. We're not trying to target any one particular person. And it just didn't work out. LaRon had a chance there, 3rd and 10, to make a play that would have been big, would have put us in field goal range. And, you know, that was one of the five drops we had again.
Right.
But, you know, he does have a role. He's a vertical threat out there, and it just depends on how they're going to play us.
Well, and when you've got things rolling, people will say, well, okay, take LaRon away, but these two guys are going to get you.
They're going to, if they keep growing as they are, I think you're right.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351, at Jags Voice via Twitter, and facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. If you have a thought for the head coach. And folks, the Jaguars Rewards program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo and start earning your rewards today. More to come with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you could be driving a brand new Kia Optima when you register to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Brian Sexton with head coach Mike Mularkey. We've been talking about the offense and Chad Henne and the young receivers. We can't miss the performance that Paul Posluszny gave your defense yesterday. And not just the interception, as they were going in and trying to tie the ball game. The forced fumble in the third quarter that was recovered by John Chick at the 11 was a huge play. But the third down stop on Arian Foster, who is just a powerful, fast runner, and there appeared to be a hole, and he stuffed and made them go for the field goal instead of the touchdown.
Right, and there's not many people that can do that because, I mean, Arian Foster gets the head of steam going. He's hard to stop for anything. But Puz had, I think he had 20 tackles yesterday. Might have been more. I thought it was 20. It was the last count that I saw, which he's all over the field. I mean, after the game, I walk around and I talk to each player regardless, and to walk up to him, he's got his forehead split wide open. There's blood just streaming down his face in the locker room after a game. You're talking about a guy that just gives up everything he has for this team and this organization every game, every day. I'm just glad glad he's on our team.
And I love his comment afterwards. Well, my fiance loves me for my charm. I mean, it's... No, throw that guy, I mean, if there ever was one.
Yo, no question about it. Tough as nails.
Andre Johnson had a huge, huge game. And he's capable of doing that. I mean, we all know that. So let's leave him out. I mean, he's just a special player. The one area that I was asking you about was the middle of the field and those linebackers. Is that almost too difficult to cover when you play a team like Houston that has so many different weapons? They're going to get something, and you hold them to 5 and 6 yards at a clip?
Well, that's what you want to make them earn everything.
That was a long drive in the fourth quarter that chewed up a lot of time.
It was not 90 yards.
Yeah.
And again, it was you hear the term dink and dunk, but a lot of that was we were trying not to give up. We were trying to make them earn. If they're going to score a touchdown, which they had to, they're going to have to earn it all. And they did a good job. They spread us out all over the field. If you know, they had four wide receivers and Owen Daniels. So you're basically talking about five very good receivers that they have. And you know, that you, it's just hard to cover those guys in that much space. We just need to have a little more pressure up front. That would have helped. But we try to keep things in front, and when we didn't, you saw that they dropped the ball in right behind our linebackers. So we were, trying to do our best just to see if we can get a turnover, which we did, you know, later on with Derek in the overtime period. But you know, they did a good job of scheming us.
You know, just to finish up on the game yesterday, and then after this break, we'll talk a little bit about this weekend's game. You were telling me that your mentality was go for it on fourth down, whether you're inside the 10-yard line where you were or whether you're at midfield. You're going for it because you're there to win.
Well, when we were down there on and six on the six,
right.
I told our offense coordinator, Bob Rakowski, you have four downs here. We're not going away with a tie. We did not come here to tie anybody. So get your four downs ready to go. And then, you know, then we have a negative play on the first run. Again, we were just trying to get half the yards to the goal line, and then we have a penalty, and all of a sudden, before you know it, we're back on the 15-yard line, and then obviously the smart play is to kick the field goal, hopefully get a turnover, which we did. That was the decision behind it all. We were especially where we're at. We wanted to win that football game more than you can ever imagine.
Oh no, I can imagine.
And
I can see it in your eyes right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
24 hours later.
Yes. We were going for it no matter what to win that game.
And there was no flinching you on fourth down and almost 11 at midfield. And I even said to Jeff during the broadcast, I mean, shouldn't they punt here? Shouldn't they try to play it again? And that's the conservative play. And forget conservative when you're, you know, going through this losing streak trying to get things turned around.
Right.
Plus, you probably don't get the ball back, do you?
No, really. The statistics say that you're probably not going to get the ball back. You know, possession, the time on the clock. So it was either going to end in a tie or they were going to have to move the ball rather quickly in the last 2 minutes down there to score, kick a field goal, and win the game. And we'd already we converted a fourth and 10 earlier to put us in position to tie the game in overtime. And I thought, you know what? We've made some plays. We finally have made some plays today that we haven't been making all year. Maybe this is our time for another play to be made by our guys, our quarterback, our receivers. And I just thought, you know, let's make it. You know, the whole point of that game, even at halftime, was let's make this happen, not hope this happens. Let's make it happen.
You know, 1-9 is no fun for anybody. But the residual effect of that aggressive mentality yesterday, I think, will pay off some point down the road, don't you, that you've established it in your team that this is what we do?
Well,
we go to win.
Yeah, we go to win. I mean, that's, I hate to lose the way we lost, you know, with that big run by Andre Johnson on a little quick screen. But, you know, we were there. We were there to win that game. We knew early that whoever had the ball last was going to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I told it to the offense on the sidelines, and this was when it was – we were up 14-7. I said, I'm just going to tell you, this is going to be one of those games that is going to go back and forth, and whoever has this thing last will win the football game. And so we had to be aggressive, and we had to throw the ball down the field to make some plays. That defense is too hard to drive, you know, 80 yards.
They're very patient because they know they've got a running game.
Right.
They can control the tempo of the game.
Well, they've led the league for 2 years in time of possession. You don't get the ball very often. So
right.
You got to, when you have the ball, you had to make things happen. We knew that going in, and that was the plan, to try to make some plays down the field. The players had to make some plays, and they did, which is why we had a chance to win.
All right. When we come back, we'll look forward to Sunday's matchup against the Tennessee Titans here at Everbank Field. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for that game better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart offers you more fashion at a lower price. Back with head coach Mike Mularkey and the Titans rolling. First time to see those guys this year. And you know, last year they gave $30 million to their running back, Chris Johnson, and he had a season career low, 1,047 yards. And then this year, first 5 games, 4 yards, 17 yards, 24 yards, 24 yards, and people said, well, I guess he took the money and run.
Not quite.
No, all of a sudden, you know, in the last 5 or 6 games, he has 4 100-plus yard performances, including 195 against the Titans. I'm sorry, against the Texans. That's a very admirable. And 140 against the Bears.
Well, he's hit 815 in the last seven games.
Ooh, yeah.
So, I mean, he's back. I think he's playing at that level he was, you know, when he got that big contract.
He's a 1 yard back, which means he can score from your 1 yard line or he can score from his 1 yard line.
He's a dangerous player, and we got to make sure we know where he is and we tackle him.
I'm sure you know Mike Munchak pretty well.
I know Mike pretty well, yes.
Is he a run the ball kind of guy?
All offensive line, offensive linemen like running the football.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's their personality.
I would say yes.
I mean, last year they didn't have it, so they threw the ball a lot with a veteran quarterback in Matt Hasselbeck. But if you've got that explosive playmaker on the field, yeah, I would think you just feed him the ball.
Yeah.
You're seeing that from them?
Yes. I mean, I think that's what they're getting back to, and they've been very productive. And I'm sure that's going to be their intent when they come in here.
What's the key to stopping a guy like that? I mean, whether it's a receiver.
Really being where you're supposed to be.
Okay.
And don't do anything more than that. And we had a couple examples yesterday without pointing out anybody, but we had a couple veteran players that are, you know, really some of our core players get out of where they were supposed to be, and we were hurt pretty drastically because of it, because all they were trying to do was they thought, I got to be the guy that makes that play. And no, they don't. All they have to do is be in the position that we're asking them to be in, and that play will come to you. And it's really important against guys like this that if there's one guy out of place, that you can be exposed quickly and it can be catastrophic.
It's that cutback.
Yes.
I mean, he's got that. Is he as good at the cutback as
Well, they do.
Arian
I'll tell
Foster?
You, they do a good job of designing some of the cutbacks.
Okay.
Their scheme is well designed to take advantage of some of the defenses, how they sometimes overrun things. And if he's in open space, he's a dangerous cat, there's no doubt.
What quarterback do you expect to see this week?
I would think it would be Locker right now.
And he's young, and this is his first year really being the guy. What do you see from him?
This is a guy that can – he's very athletic, very dangerous when he gets out of the pocket. Cannot let him escape the pocket. They're going to design things to get him out of the pocket. But, again, that's you hear people say coordinated pass rush. That coordinated means that you've got to be it's a rush, whether you're line games or whatever it is, but you're where you're supposed to be in case he tries to get out of the pocket, either, you know, stepping up and running through or outside of it. We cannot let him escape it because he's got a strong arm and he's very accurate on the run, and he's very athletic, but he's young, but he's got the tools.
And obviously they've got a tight end in Jared Cook. He's not been as big a factor this year as he was last, but Jaguars fans remember he had a monster day last year up in Nashville.
He can be a serious mismatch if we are not careful with him. He's very good, very fast, very tough to cover.
All right, folks, we need a break. We'll come back with more with the head coach of the Jaguars. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They are a proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Looking at the Titans. And, Coach, you know, this Titans team has always seemed to have a pass rusher. You know, Javon Kearse was there, and, you know, he goes, and Kyle VandenBosch comes into the fray. And, you know, then for a brief fling, they have the why can't I think of his name? The young man that was drafted by the Texans and is playing in Philadelphia. Who am I thinking of? The tattoos all over his body.
I knew it.
I'm drawing a blank. You know him. He's an Eagle. All right. Well, I'm not the only one. Yeah, you know. So, they've had some guys.
They
go get Cameron Wimbley. And Derek Morgan's a young guy with a first-round pick. Is the pass rush in Tennessee formidable?
Yes.
Okay.
If there's a strength, you always go, where's the strength of this? That's it. They're front again. And that seems to be a lot of weeks during the year that the front four or in a 3-4, that they're the strength of the defense.
How about against the run? And can you get the running game started this week against these guys?
We're certainly going to give it our best shot. We try to – I thought Jalen ran hard last week. You know, he got 80 yards, tough 80 yards on 24 carries. But, these guys, especially their interior guys, Marks and Casey, they are good run stoppers, and that's what they do inside. And then they take the two outside guys that you just talked about, with Wembley, and they're coming smoking off the edge. They are a great edge rusher, so they're trying to, again, contain the offense in a box and contain your run game.
How was your protection overall against the Texans? I know late J.J. Watt got some pressure.
I was very happy with the way our guys protected. That is a very good front.
Very good.
I mean, that's a, you know, really good defense, and those guys up front do a great job of putting pressure on the quarterback, and I thought, especially with the noise, it was extremely loud. We attempted to go no huddle and had a difficult time, and that hasn't happened very often where you have a hard time communicating. But to be able to get the snap and get off on the snap and block those guys, especially J.J. Watt, who I don't know who can block.
Can anyone block him? One-on-one?
Not really. No, I haven't seen very many people, I mean, including our guys
right.
or teams that we studied on him. He's just he is playing at such a high level. I can't remember a guy playing like he is right now.
Yeah, and the other thing about him, and you can see the numbers, you know, 6'5", 295, but just you don't get the body structure there. That is a massive man. His shoulders are as wide as this table.
He's big. He's fast. He's quick. He's relentless. You talk about a guy that doesn't stop.
He plays with intensity.
There was a run yesterday where he had Eugene. He made Rashad bounce it outside. He poked his head inside, and Rashad said, "Well, I'm not going in there. I'm going to go out there." And you could tell he had just set up Rashad, and all of a sudden he just tossed Eugene to the side and made the tackle for a loss. But you could see the whole setup going, don't run in here, go out there, and bam, as soon as he made that decision, he made it.
He's smart, too.
He's very smart, very good at what he does. Obviously, studies film because he was in our backfield way too many times.
Now, that running game, and obviously it's tough when you don't have Maurice Jones-Drew, who's a premier player, but I kept thinking in the course of that game, you know, to have Maurice, to have a running game that is dependable gives you the opportunity to win that ball game, to chew up a couple of minutes of the clock.
Well, I'd like to think that how much we miss Maurice. I think we miss Greg Jones in these last.
Absolutely.
Few. I mean, he is just a formidable fullback. I think he's the best in the league, and him not playing, even though Will, our fullback, did the best he could. I mean, he really did. He played well yesterday, probably his best game as a pro. But there's a lot missing with Greg not being in there as well.
And you could see what the play action did for the Texans. And to have that ability to get everyone to bite up.
Right.
I mean, Andre Johnson on that first drive where he caught the ball down at the 10-yard line, you could just see everyone react to Arian Foster, who's such a great player.
Right. When you have that threat, I mean, you're kind of danged if you don't, and if you do, you can see it can get thrown over your head.
When you look at this team, Michael Griffin, the safety, has been to the Pro Bowl a couple of times, and obviously they're pretty high on Jason McCourty. They gave him a big contract before the season began.
Right.
Talented secondary.
Right, it's a good defense, and they're playing better and better. You know, they had a bye this week. They played Miami the week before, held Miami to 3 points, had three picks. Their linebackers had three interceptions, one for a touchdown. I think they had four turnovers total, and shut Miami down in their own stadium.
And they've been playing pretty well.
They have been playing pretty well. So they are coming off a big win down in Miami, and coming off a week off.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Forgot about that. Yeah, that helps.
That will help.
Big game Sunday. Jaguars and Titans. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show for those of you in Jacksonville at 10 a.m. Jaguars pregame at noon. Kickoff at 1 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, we'll follow that with the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. We're back to wrap up the Mike Mularkey Show with the Jaguars head coach right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. You know, one thing that we didn't mention yet was maybe the play of the game was Brian Anger tackling Keyshawn Martin as he was, heading to the sideline for a touchdown on that return.
I think everybody in the stadium, I know our coaches upstairs were like, this is not good when they saw the crease. And Brian being the last line of defense, but obviously Keyshawn Martin's a little faster than Brian Anger, but Brian's heart and soul and just want to was there and caught him and not just tackle him, great form tackle.
Absolutely.
And caught him, looked like, with ease. And
and it was a huge play because...
Huge, right, because we got a turnover, right. Soon after that. And
that set up the 3rd and 21 that you hit to... I mean, talk about a chain of events that works your direction.
But that's kind of what we showed him Wednesday morning. We kind of showed how each... throughout the whole year, how each team has, or each phase has complemented each other. And when we've done that, three things in a row, special teams, offense, defense, how good we can do things, and that was one of them.
And that was that just a case of him outkicking the coverage, a 72-yard punt? I mean,
that's going to happen sometimes. He that's not always a case because he gets the hang time. This one was, you know, his more trajectory got down there a lot faster than our cover guys could. That's a lot of field to have to cover, and you know, and we've been pretty darn good with our cover teams, especially our gunners with Blake and Elliott outside. They need to keep playing like that. I mean, I think they're two of the best in the NFL as far as getting down there and making things happen. So.
We're out of time, Coach, but quickly, do you expect gadget plays from the special teams unit in Tennessee? They've been known for that, haven't they?
We will be on alert. They definitely are one of the, if not the most gimmicky type of team, and very successful with a lot of things they've done. So we've got to be on alert and not let any of that happen to us.
Thanks for your time. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too, Brian.
All right. Good luck this week getting ready for the Titans.
Thank you.
That's the head coach. Have a great night, everybody.